8. To his brother Mikhail, October the 8th, 1845. Dearest brother, until now I have had neither time nor spirits to write you anything about my own affairs. Everything was disgusting and hateful, and the whole world seemed a desert. In the first place, I had no money all the time, and was living on credit, which is most unpleasant, my dear and only friend. In the second, I was in that wretched mood wherein one loses all courage, yet does not fall into dull indifference, rather, which is much worse, thinks a great deal too much about oneself, and rages uncontrollably. At the beginning of this month, Nekrasov, Nikolai Alexeyevich Nekrasov, 1821-77, a noted writer of liberal tendencies, he edited from 1846 to 1866 the monthly magazine established by Pushkin, Sofremenik, the contemporary, came to me and paid me back part of his debt. The rest I am to have in a few days. I must tell you that Bielinski, Vissarion Grigorievich Bielinski, a most distinguished Russian critic of extreme liberal tendency, gave me, a fortnight ago, a comprehensive lesson on how to live in the literary world. As a conclusion, he told me that, for my soul's sake, I must not ask less than 200 rubles a printed sheet. In that case, my Galiadkin, the double, would bring me in at least 1,500 rubles. Nekrasov, who was evidently conscience-stricken, anticipated him and promised me on January the 15th 100 rubles more for my poor folk, which he has acquired from me. He felt obliged to confess to me himself that a fee of 150 rubles was absolutely unchristian, so he has raised it by 100. This is all very nice indeed, but it is most unpleasant to have still no word from the censor about poor folk. They have kidnapped that guileless novel, and I don't know what will be the end thereof. And suppose they forbid it to appear, or strike out every word of it? It is a real calamity. Nekrasov tells me, too, that his almanac won't be able to appear at the right time, and that that undertaking has already cost him 4,000 rubles. Yakov Petrovich Galiadkin is a bad hat. He is utterly base, and I positively can't manage him. He won't move a step, for he always maintains that he isn't ready, that he's mere nothingness as yet, but could, if it were necessary, show his true character. Then why won't he? And after all, he says, he's no worse than the rest. Why does he care about my toil? Oh, a terribly base fellow. In no case can he bring his career to a finish before the middle of November. He has already had an interview with His Excellency, and is not disinclined to take his leave, as indeed he well may. Me, his poor author, he is putting in a hole. I often go to Bielinski's. He's inordinately affectionate, seeing in me a vindication of his views to the public. I have lately made the acquaintance of Cronenberg, the translator of Shakespeare. He's a son of the old professor from Charkov. My future, and certainly the immediate future, may shape itself on the whole most favourably, but may also turn out very badly indeed. Bielinski urges me to finish my Galiadkin. He has already spread the fame of that novel through the entire literary world, and almost sold it to Kraevsky, editor of the Otechestvennia Sapiski. Half Petersburg is talking of poor folk. A good word from Grigorovich, Dmitri Vasilievich Grigorovich, 1822-99, a popular writer, author of numerous romances and novels, a colleague of Dostoevsky in the College of Engineering, carries weight. And he said to me myself the other day, "Je suis votre claqueur chauffeur." Nekrasov is always full of wild schemes. It is a condition of his being. He was born like that. Directly he arrived here, he came to me one evening and unfolded a plan for a little flying almanac into which the whole literary community should put their backs. But at the head of the editorial staff ought to be myself, Grigorovich, and Nekrasov. The last will take the financial risk. The almanac is to consist of two sheets and to appear fortnightly on the 7th and 21st of the month. It is to be called Superskull, the Scoffer. We mean to ridicule and jeer at everything without mercy. The theatres, newspapers, society, literature, daily happenings, exhibitions, advertisements, foreign news. In short, everything. The whole is to be done with one tendency and in one spirit. The first number is to appear on November the 7th. It is wonderfully compounded. In the first place, there are to be illustrations as well. As motto, we take the famous words of Bulgarin, Fade Bulgarin, 1789 to 1859, a journalist in the pay of the police, hated and feared as a denouncer and secret agent, in his feuilleton in the Severnaya Pchela, Northern Bee. We are ready to die for the truth, for we cannot live without truth, etc. Underneath, we shall put Fade Bulgarin's signature. The prospectus, which will appear on November the 1st, will have the same motto. The first number will contain the following contributions. A sort of send-off by Nekrasov on certain Petersburg basenesses, those, of course, which have just then been perpetrated. An anticipated novel by Eugène Sue, The Seven Deadly Sins, the whole thing will be in three pages. A review of all the journals. A lecture after Shevirov on Pushkin's verses. They are so harmonious that when Shevirov once at the Colosseum in Rome, in company with some ladies, recited a few strophes, all the frogs and lizards that housed there came creeping out to hear the wondrous stanzas. Shevirov gave just such a discourse in the Moscow University. Then comes a report of the last sitting of the Society of Slavophiles, whereat it was solemnly maintained that Adam was a Slav and lived in Russia. It will be pointed out how important and useful is the settling of this question for the well-being of the whole Russian nation. In the art section, our Superskull will declare itself at one with Kukolnik's illustration, and call particular attention to the following passage in that journal, one where the letters and words were printed upside down and in the wrong order, for it is well known that the illustration is so badly edited and proofread that topsy-turvy letters and words running into one another are quite normal occurrences. Grigorovich will write a chronicle of the week and take a rise out of people with his things seen. I am to write observations of a valet on his master. The paper will, as you see, be highly diverting. Something in the style of the Gep of Alphonse Carr. The notion is dazzling, for to me alone will come, at the very lowest estimate, from 100 to 150 rubles a month. The sheet will succeed. Nekrasov will do some verse, too. On no account misreading Teverino by George Sand in the Atechesvenia Sapiski for October. There has been nothing like it in our century. It gives us absolute archetypes of human character.